Well, I sure enjoyed the music and the message behind the music and for all the musicians that came together and to get to participate and sing with them. And if you enjoyed singing, we've only just begun because Saturday we get to meet together again for our Christmas Eve service. It'll be here at 4:30 or at 6 o'clock and always a highlight to sing those Christmas carols as well as to read the scriptures together. And then, of course, next Sunday is Christmas Day. But first and foremost, it is the Lord's Day. And so we'll gather for worship on Sunday, only at 11 o'clock next week. And looking forward to more of the celebration and rejoicing in Christ and all he has done. It's not uncommon for a biography of a famous person to begin with the birth, and then to end the story or the book or the documentary with the death of that person. And the same pattern is usually reflected in a cemetery tombstone, where you have the date of birth, followed by a dash representing that person's life, and then there's a date, the date of death. A biography of Jesus, however, is unique. The life doesn't begin with birth, nor does it end with death. A few minutes ago, the choir sang, "Heaven has come to us." So we celebrate the birth of Christ, but we are not celebrating the beginning of his life. Rather, we are celebrating his coming to earth. In John's gospel, he explains that Christ is eternal. He existed before the universe was ever made. In fact, he's the one that made the universe. He is God. John then explains that this eternal God who made the world took on human flesh and entered it. John then explains that this eternal God came to earth and John was able to be an eyewitness. He said, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We know from Matthew and Luke's writings that this was first revealed in the town of Bethlehem when the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus. And that was a fulfillment of a prophecy made 600 years earlier. "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That would certainly be a miraculous sign, a virgin birth. And the son born is none other than God with us. This was the prophecy that the angel quoted to Joseph, the man engaged to Mary. He knew the child was not his. And having known the character of his fiancée, he believed the angel's words that the child is God himself come from heaven. From the perspective of us earthlings, then, we think of Christ coming. Heaven has come to us. But I want us to consider for a moment the perspective of Jesus. Why did he come? And what did he say about this? Well, as a newborn baby, of course, Jesus didn't say anything about it in Bethlehem. But years later, Jesus actually spoke extensively about why he came to earth. If you have a Bible, I invite you to go to John chapter 6. And so we're going to fast forward about 30 years. After his birth in Bethlehem, Jesus and his family settled in the small village of Nazareth. Jesus lived in virtual obscurity for those 30 years. But in John chapter 6, Jesus performs his most public miracle. Thousands had gathered to hear him teach along the shore of the Galilean Sea. A few hours after listening, the people got hungry, as you probably will hear soon, as they were thinking, what's the next meal? What are we going to eat? And so a small bag of food, 2 fish, 5 small loaves of bread were given to Jesus. And from that, he multiplied the food enough to fill 12 large baskets after he had fed 5,000 men, along with all the women and children. And everyone was amazed. On the next day, some of the people found Jesus and they wanted more bread. They asked, "What sign will you perform? What work will you do?" And then they said, "Here's a suggestion. Moses gave our forefathers bread from heaven to eat." These people wanted another dinner and a show. But Jesus knew their greater need. Look at verse 35 of John chapter 6. "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" You see, they didn't realize what they really needed. They needed to believe in Jesus. And in verse 38, Jesus explains why he came from heaven to earth. "For I have come down from heaven," he said, "not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Why did Jesus leave his heavenly home and come to earth? The answer is that he was sent. He was sent on a mission from his heavenly Father. So, what was he sent to do? Verse 39, Jesus says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you understand the mission? Jesus was sent by his Father from heaven to earth so that everyone who believes in him will be raised to everlasting life. And Jesus considers each believer as a gift from his Father. So the mission is for Jesus to give eternal life to all who believe. And why did Jesus have to come? Why did he have to come to earth for that to happen? Why did he have to become a man and take on human flesh? Look now at verse 47. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Jesus here continues this metaphor of bread. After rescuing his people from Egypt, the Lord provided for the nation of Israel for all these years, 40 years in the wilderness. Every morning as they went out of their tent, there was bread from heaven. God provided food to sustain them. They called it manna. And although it sustained their bodies for many years, each one of them eventually died. Physical bread doesn't bring eternal life. But Jesus is claiming that he has come down from heaven as living bread. Whoever eats of this bread, he says, will live forever. And this parallels what he had already said. Eating bread is a picture of believing in Jesus. The one who trusts in him may die physically here on earth, but will be raised to eternal life. And Jesus hints at why his coming to earth is necessary. He says in verse 51, "The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Christ explains that he was made flesh in order to give it. He says that he will give his life for the life of the world. His human flesh was given up so that those in the world could be given life. Now, most of the folks hearing Jesus say these words did not understand them at that time. But it would later become clear what he meant by giving his flesh for the world. If you're in John chapter 6, I invite you to turn just a few pages to chapter 16. This is a couple years later. So we've seen the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. About 30 years later, this public miracle on the shore of Galilee. But that wasn't his final public miracle. For the next 2 years, Jesus performed many miracles, and he proclaimed openly. He made some bold claims about himself. Some listened to Jesus and followed him. Others heard these words and rejected him. In chapter 16, Jesus is with the small band of men who have stayed with him. And he has already told them several times earlier that he will be rejected and persecuted and killed. And at their supper together, Jesus told them that it was time for him to leave them. Here in verse 1 of chapter 16, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." What an emotional moment. These men had come to believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be. He is the Messiah. He is Lord. He is the Savior. But Jesus is telling them that he will be killed and that he will be returning to the one who sent him, going back to heaven. And he says that they too, if they faithfully follow him, will be persecuted as well. Jesus can see from their faces that sorrow has filled their hearts. But what they do not yet understand is that this is the whole reason for his coming, to give his life so that those who believe in him will have life. And that very night, Jesus will be betrayed by one of his disciples and then arrested. Throughout that night and into the next morning, he will be falsely accused. He will be condemned as a blasphemer. The religious leaders will take Jesus to a Roman governor to get permission to have him executed. And that afternoon, he will hang on an old rugged cross and die. And this will all fit perfectly into God's plan for his Son. The plan to rescue sinners and give them eternal life. Jesus knew that this is why he was sent from heaven. He was given a mission and he fulfilled it. Paul describes it this way in Philippians 2. Being in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, Jesus was born to die. He came down from heaven because he was sent by his Father and he obeyed him all the way to death on the cross. Jesus explained that he gave his flesh for the world, that they may have life. This means that this was a substitutionary death. You see, Jesus died on the cross, dying in our place. He received what we deserve. The Bible tells us that sin has infected every one of us. None is righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Paul testified in 1 Timothy 1:15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's good news for sinners. That's good news for all of us. That is why he came. That is why he was sent. You see, Jesus didn't come for the faithful. He came for the unfaithful, for the broken and weary, for the weak, for the guilty. He came for you and me. The angel told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You see, we celebrate Christmas not as the end of the story, but as a means to an end. Unto us grace has come, here to seek and bring the sinner home. Lived to die, rose to reign, Son of Man the Lamb, for sinners slain. What a mystery, oh what love, oh how can it be that heaven has come to us? This is the reason Jesus came. Although the cross was a cruel instrument of torture and death, it has become for us a symbol of hope and life. Jesus suffered and died in our place. He gave his flesh for the life of the world. But on the third day, his body was no longer in the tomb. He arose and he showed himself alive to many over the next few weeks. He rose from the grave. And that is what he promises us. He is the bread of life. And he said, "Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You see, his resurrection is proof that we can trust him with our life and death. If you believe in him, you too will be raised to eternal life. As we conclude, I want you to hear one more important announcement that Jesus made on that final night before he was crucified on the cross. So go back a page maybe to chapter 14 of John. Remember, the disciples are troubled by what Jesus has told them. He's leaving them, but he shares these words of comfort to them. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." We heard Jesus explain why he came down from heaven. And now he shares why he is going back to heaven. He is preparing a place for his followers. He promises them and us, "Where I am, there you may be also." This is the rest of the story. Heaven has come to us so that we can go to heaven. And one of the disciples, Thomas, wants to make sure he understands what Jesus is saying. He wants to be with Jesus. He wants to go to heaven. He wants to make sure that he knows the way. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way?" Maybe that's the question you've been wondering about. You realize you're a sinner. You understand that you are unworthy to enter the presence of a holy God. You know that you need forgiveness and hope and peace. But how? How can you know the way? Well, that's a great question. Probably the most important question you could ever ask. And Thomas asked the best person that could answer that question. The answer is in verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Heaven has come to us to make a way for us to go to heaven. That is the greatest gift ever given. Christmas is about Christ, about Christ being sent to save us from our sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Let's pray. If you're here this morning and you do not have that assurance, maybe you still have questions. What is the way? How can I be sure? How can my sins be forgiven? What will happen to me when I die? I want to be raised to eternal life. If those are correct questions that you do not know the answer from the Bible, we'd love to talk to you afterwards. I'll be at the front, or you could contact us sometime this week. Whenever you're available, we'd love to answer your questions or to share with you more of how you can receive the gift of eternal life from Christ. Father, we're thankful for this good news of great joy for all people. We thank you for your grace, that heaven has come to us, that Jesus came, sent from his Father to make a way through the cross so that we can go to be with him. Father, we rejoice. We celebrate all that we have in Christ. We thank you for this time of year. We especially focus on Christ taking on human flesh so that he could give it for the life of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.